Hi, I'm Trevor Cochran and welcome to The Garden Gurus Live. It's our weekly show where Joanne Harris and I share seasonal garden advice. We feature a variety of garden lovers from all over Australia and the world, and we give you the opportunity to interact and ask your garden questions. To join the chat live and ask your gardening questions, all you need to do is like The Garden Gurus Facebook page and tune in every week. This live stream is brought to you by Sunpalm, Troforte and Garden Express. Sunpalm Australia is a leading market-orientated, research and development-driven and progressive company specialising in producing and supplying a huge range of plastic and fertiliser products that cater to the needs of customers from the landscape, nursery, garden, forestry, agriculture and horticulture industries. Their mission is to transform your garden into a picturesque oasis. So head to sunpalmaustralia.com.au and learn more about them. Good morning and welcome to The Garden Gurus Live. I'm Trevor Cochran, and of course this program is brought to you by two of our great sponsors, the people from Troforte and of course the great people from Garden Express. Now, the terrific thing about this is it's your chance to get your garden questions answered live. So we want you to be coming on and telling us where you're from, what the problem is. When you tell us where you're from, try and actually be specific. So if you're from New South Wales and you're from northern New South Wales, or you're from regional or south or from Sydney, let me know, because it does help, because climatically there are a lot of variations. So I will be able to help a little bit better if you tell me what it is. Now, we've got a heap of questions coming through already, and there's a good opportunity for you, as so thanks to our two major sponsors, to win some prizes. In fact, Garden Express have got a $50 gift voucher, and this is terrific because it means you can go online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when you want, and go shopping. That's the great thing about Garden Express. And of course, it'll turn up in a couple of weeks' time, delivered direct to your door, which is wonderful. And this time of the year, of course, spring flowering bulbs. There's some really good deals going. So your $50 goes a long way. So make sure you check that out. And of course, we've got this amazing gift pack from Troforte. It's valued at least $250. If you're going to win this prize, you need to listen out for the code word during live and like and comment the code word on Troforte's Facebook page. They're well worthwhile liking because they've got some really cool information, and where they're going with the technology that they've developed and how they think about feeding the soil, not so much feeding the plant, to ensure that your soil biome's healthy, is the future as far as gardening goes. In fact, one day pest control and all these things will be treated organically and naturally like that, simply by manipulating Mother Nature's own biome itself to our benefit. And that's really what Troforte is all about. I'll tell you some more about that later. Okay, let's keep rolling on. I think first up, let's go to the Garden Express segment. We've got a great little story. And then straight after that, I promise, we'll come back and start answering your questions. One of the greatest pleasures a person can have is getting out and exploring garden centres, finding new and unusual plants, maybe those rare and collectible ones that make your backyard so unique. In the old days, you could do it in independent garden centres. There was a lot of them around and it was easy. More recent times, it's been the big corporates, the hardware stores, etc., that have got a pretty good range. But now, it's the online retailer that's really starting to shine. And a lot of people like that 24/7 shopping capability, but are worried about it being a little bit impersonable. But the good news is it isn't. And let me show you why. This is Garden Express, Australia's leading online garden centre. But behind the facade of a desktop monitor, you'll find something that's strangely familiar. You see, this is the evolution of a garden supplier business that's actually been servicing gardening customers right across Australia with new and interesting flowers and bulbs for four generations. For over 70 years, the Van Berkel family have been servicing the needs of gardeners right across Australia, particularly with spring flowering bulbs, you know, the tulips, the daffodils, the hyacinths, ranunculus, in fact, anything you can think of that you really love, I'll guarantee you, you'll find it in their collection. Of course, in recent times, it's all evolved to be Garden Express, where you can order 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and have it delivered direct to your door. Well, David, this place is going off. You've got bulbs everywhere. And you know how I told you I love scattering different types of bulbs through the garden? You never know what you're going to get coming through at any one time.
Exactly.
What can you do?
Well, talk about scattering bulbs. We've got this great offer, our spring bulb collection.
Yeah.
It's our favourite package. 225 bulbs of all your spring favourites.
Yeah.
So anemones, ranunculus, grape hyacinth, spiraxis, freesias. So all through spring, you've got something terrific flowering any other day of the week.
Right, and this has got to cost a fair bit because that's a lot of bulbs.
It's a fair value, Trevor, but we do this package for $29.
$29?
Yeah, save over 60%. It's a beautiful offer to get everybody engaged with spring flowering bulbs.
That's amazing.
They're your smaller scatter bulbs, Trev. You just put them in, they multiply quickly.
Yep.
So in a couple of years, you know, you'll probably have 1,000 bulbs out of that.
That is awesome. All right, well, mate, I'll take those two then.
Take them both. I'm sure we're producing plenty more off the machine there. So we'll keep everybody satisfied with their bulbs this year.
I love it. Thanks, David. Another great deal from Garden Express. Well, there you go. The Garden Centre of the Future is here, and shopping for your favourite garden plants has changed forever. But it's good to know that it is still personal. This is a company that's been here for 70 years, four generations. The Van Berkel family will look after you, so make sure you check out Garden Express. I do love that place. It's so interesting. I love the variety. It's such a great place to go to. Of course, you can do it virtually. You can go online and check them out. And David, you've got to remember, this is a family business. It's a great thing. I think it's four generations down the line. And look at them. Look, they're going along and they're thriving in this digital world where convenience is everything. So, jump online, check it out. But what a deal. How good's that? It's $93.90 worth of bulbs for just $29 delivered direct to your door. The guys at Garden Express. So remember, it's gardenexpress.com.au. Check it out. Okay, shall we get on with it? Shall we start talking? Let's go to Alice Springs for a start. We haven't been to Alice Springs, I don't think, for quite some time. So here we go. I struggle every year in my 42 years here with lawn grub beetle, whatever those horrible bugs are that destroy my lawn every year. This is Margaret from Alice Springs. Margaret, you're asking me to suggest something different that you could try other than what Bunnings offer. Now, I love my lush green lawns whilst they last, which isn't very long, which has been so disappointing year in, year out, and thanks in advance. There's a couple of things that you should be aware of. One of the things I learned a long period of time ago was that people who've got outdoor lights on at night have worse problems with lawn grub and African black beetle larvae chewing the roots of their lawn in very large quantities, causing devastation, than people who do not have lights on outside. Now, the reason for that is the beetles and also the moths that actually lay the eggs, that leave the larvae, that eats the roots. Guess what? They're night active. So when they see a bright light, they all fly towards that bright light. So the very first thing I'm going to say to you is, try and think about a way to reduce that exposure, that bright light at night. If you can turn that off for a start, it saves you having to use chemicals. Now, there is a number of treatments that you can use, and a couple of them are quite soft but very effective. At the same time, there's some pretty darn harsh chemicals, and I would suggest that you avoid that because they kill all the good bugs as well as the bad ones. If you're going to treat, then I would recommend you do it in the late afternoon, early evening, and that's when it's going to be less likely for the grubs to come to the surface and be eaten by birds, which is what they will do. Another way naturally to try and control them is occasionally to flood patches of your lawn. Leave the hose on for a short period of time, maybe 10 minutes or so in a patch. What will happen is that water will spread through and then it'll slowly saturate the soil. Now, what happens is all the grubs will come to the surface, and that's when predators like butcher birds or, it's pretty much everything, but certainly magpies are probably the biggest. You'll suddenly see they start congregating on the lawn, and the reason is they're there catching those grubs as they come to the surface. So these are really nice natural ways to do it, which is a lot better than anything else. Of course, the ultimate goal is to reduce the overall population of those grubs, and if you can do that, then you'll find you have less and less of a problem. But
I would recommend that it's more a systematic process that you go through, which already helped. Now, listen, we have every week, we have a young man by the name of Tyson Sanders from Boronia. He joins us and he's always planting things from seed. And his question this week is, can I please plant the cauliflower seeds in the ground or can it be somewhere else? If I could give you some tips or advice. Now, cauliflower will grow really, really well if you put it into tubs of really good soil, remembering they get quite large. So my suggestion is that you would plant the seed out in a tray with seed raising mix first, then you would prick those little seedlings out as soon as they get their second set of leaves. So the first set of leaves are the cotyledons, and the second set, at that point, prick them out, pop two or three in a large tub, we're talking maybe a 305 mil tub, really good soil in that tub. Plant them sort of on the opposite ends of the tub as much as you possibly can, and then they'll grow and produce beautiful big cauliflower heads. And, of course, the rest, they can go into the garden and they will grow very well. Remembering that this is a member of the brassica family and brassicas are incredibly good for us. In fact, there's a very substantial body of evidence about how good they are for gut health. And so having them in your diet, particularly some of those other members includes things like, so we talked cauliflower, broccoli, of course, cabbage, and the big one, well, probably the two big ones, cabbage and kale, both of them vitally important to our general health. In fact, a handful of kale in your diet every day is said to reduce your risk of stomach-based cancers significantly. And we're talking sort of maybe 70, 80, 90%. So Tyson, grow these. The other thing about cauliflower is it has a plant enzyme or phytochemical in there that's said to be incredibly good for liver health. So if you do enjoy a drink or you suffer from something that, you know, has affected your liver function, then this is a particular vegetable you should have in your diet on a regular basis. All right, so we go from Victoria all the way back to Claremont. And Lynn's asking, is it too late to fertilise my gardenias, hydrangeas and moreas, please? So these plants are all going into their dormant season. And at the moment, you're in Perth. We're in the beginning of April. Basically, they'll go dormant about the second to third or even fourth week of May. So you've pretty much got 6 weeks of growth. If you were going to feed them right at the moment, I would be using something like Troforte M. And I do the one that encourages flowering for these specific plants. And that goes as well for things like roses. You could get one more flush of roses if you hit them now with a good feed. So a little bit of tip pruning maybe, give them a feed. Gardenias, hydrangeas and moreas are not probably going to put a lot more growth on, but it is good for them as they go into the cooler season, and it should reduce that yellowing over the winter months that often occurs with these kinds of tropical plants. Nikki is also in Perth. Hi, Nikki. I'm getting a wicking pot for Mother's Day. Awesome. It's about 48 centimetres wide, and I believe it takes close to two bags of 25-litre potting mix. I would love to grow a dwarf lime tree in it, or something edible, but not herbs. What can you suggest? Well, you know what? If you're growing something like a dwarf lime tree, what we call companion planting, you can actually plant herbs that are in there that are very compatible, and generally the really pungent ones, to citrus. And what they can do is help ward off some of the pests and diseases that citrus get. So don't be scared to go for something in around the base. The two most important things I'm going to say to you about citrus in pots. The number one is you need to get a premium quality potting mix. You need to get something that's got some real science in the bag. And it's amazing the work. And I know the background work and I know the people who've been involved and how hard they've worked to develop the very best potting mixes. And, of course, it's the people from Osmocote. And they've got a Osmocote premium in a blue bag. You'll find it in your local Bunnings store, probably in good garden centres as well. It's amazing what it does. And I only use that these days. I just rely on it and trust it. It is so good. So Osmocote. Now, the second thing I should say that's very, very important is even though that potting mix will have fertiliser in it, citrus are gross feeders. So they do eat or require a large amount of nutrient to keep them growing strongly. And that's what I would ask is that that you make sure that you're feeding. And it's probably a handful of Troforte M for citrus, for fruit trees. Probably every, if it was me, every 3 months in a large 48 centimetre pot. It's a great size. And that's it. You don't really need to do any more than that, Nikki. It'll grow quite quickly once it's established, and it'll be producing in that size pot somewhere around about 20 to 30 fruit per season. Just remembering that every time you produce fruit, that's nutrient coming out of the tree and out of the ground, so you do have to keep replacing it. And that's why regular feeding is really good. Let's go to the Gold Coast. Glenn Miller is a good fan of ours. It's great to see you too, Glenn. Thanks so much for participating. And you've been a terrific supporter. Thank you so much for that. We really do appreciate it. You've got a 4 metre tall, that's quite a solid lemon tree. You're on the Gold Coast and it's got grass on one side of it. The drip line is now going over the grass, and I understand lemon trees don't like root competition. Can I leave the lawn where it is, or will it affect the roots? And how's the best way to feed the lemon without feeding the grass? That is a really good question. The answer is that it's really good to divide the two if you can. If it's going to get to the point where you're starting to lose lawn, maybe you're better to actually trim your lemon back. And that's the stage I'm at with my mature lemon. I've got a Eureka and they can be really quite vigorous. So I spend probably twice during the year a bit of time shaping it, reducing it down, keeping it more compact. There's only so many lemons you need per season anyway, and a 4 metre tree is going to produce a lot. So reducing the size of the canopy back is probably a better option than pulling your grass back or trying to feed the lemon without feeding the grass, which is technically impossible, really. So, and if you only feed one half of the tree, you'll find that that half of the tree will actually grow stronger than the other half, because there's sort of the roots there feed the foliage directly above generally. So hopefully that helps and it makes sense, Glenn. Sometimes it is a little difficult just to adequately explain it, but citrus are gross feeders. They do need to be fed on a regular basis, and lemons are so prolific. Giving them a good feed is a really good idea. Now, Caboolture, Sandra has come to us. She's got interesting question. She's a childcare educator at the local childcare centre. Needs your help. We've got a vegetable garden for the children. We use our vegetable area. It's also our mud. Okay, it's also our mud. I'm not really sure what that means. It needs some inspiration to make it more inviting for the kids to learn more about sanitary and caring for our variety. I'm not really sure what that means, caring for our environment. Our vegetable garden area is also a mud pit. Okay, I think what I'm getting here is that it really does need to be raised. So raised garden beds are really good. If you've got kids around, you probably want that 300, 450 max sort of high garden bed. If you're doing that, and go and find the nearest stable, for example, and buy a heap of horse manure, bring it in. It's generally really cheap. More often than not, they'll actually give it to you if you just cart it away. And what I would do is I would take that and fill those raised beds, and you can either buy pre-made raised beds or you can use timber. There's a whole bunch of options out there. I don't know whether you've seen it. We did this product. It's made by the people from Jack. It's called Retain It. And they're basically posts, and all you do is you buy the posts. There's effectively four, and you put timber and you slot it in, and it gives you this easy to make, anybody can do it, raised garden bed concept, and that might be the way to go. What it will do is allow children a lot better access. When you're using something like horse manure, what you're going to find is that the plants that are in it will grow like crazy, and then it gets down to that sensory experience for kids. So what you really want here is a whole bunch of plants that are highly visual. So things that are very productive, things like tomatoes, things like pumpkin, they'll grow very fast. The kids will see them moving. Corn's another one. And sometimes you can grow a mixture of all of these in the one particular bed. And of course, things that are stimulating when it comes to senses as well. So mints, like chocolate mint, for example, it gets kids thinking about it. It gets a discussion going. When they see it and it's easy to grow, they can take a little bit home, or they can take some home and share it with their family. Hopefully that helps. We've got a good one. I've got a great one here from Jessica Tilbury. Now, Jessica's in Victoria Park. Seems a familiar name. Morning, Jess. I saw the story with Bonnie on creating a flowering bulb spring meadow. I want to do this too with some and you're going to order some bulbs from Garden Express and redo your garden bed. But do you have any ideas for what would be a nice bordering plant around the bulbs? I'm thinking of something green from the Tradescantia family. Well, that's known as the Wandering Jew family. Honestly, I don't know that that would be probably the best way to go. If I was going to do it, I would look at something like Pratia, which is a little ground cover with beautiful little white or slightly blue, sometimes slightly pink flowers, depending on the variety. That's great. There are also some lovely little bordering plants that could be used to define it. And they're sort of some of those plants that are quite perennial in their nature. So just going through the list of things, the one that comes to mind probably on the top of the list of that would be some of those herbs. So things like rosemary, there's some lovely dwarf and there's some lovely upright forms. It's also lavender. So you could do that. And then on the inside, have your meadow, if you like, of beautiful flowers coming through from those spring flowering bulbs. It's a great story, by the way. Bonnie did a good job. She's quite the talent, that young lady. Kay is in Melbourne. I have many black rose aeoniums. All right, I get it. When is the best time to cut them back and how much is safe? So they're those beautiful world succulent plants. They can get quite long and leggy. So cutting them back and cutting them in half, taking the top bit, planting that in the ground, even taking the leaves off one by one and popping them into the ground can be an incredibly successful way to get some terrific results. So now's a good time to do it, right? I mean, right now, they will recover by winter. They'll grow slowly through the winter. They do like it a little bit on the warmer side. You're in Melbourne, Kay. Remember, it does get quite cool. Don't be scared to cut them back by half. Don't be scared to put the tops back into the ground. And by winter time, they will have dropped roots and you'll have extra plants. So it's a good way to go. Okay, Claire's in Perth. Got a couple of passion fruit vines. One is doing great. The other one started to wither recently. It's lost most of its leaves. Is there anything you can do to save it? It does sound very fungal in its nature, and they do get a couple of terrible root rot diseases. What I would be thinking about doing, in actual fact, Claire, is probably turning around and saying, if this thing's got to that point, it's got a big problem, and it's probably best to take it out of the ground and burn it, or dispose of it in a way that it cannot get back into your garden. And then I wouldn't put anything else in that soil around the outside. I would let the soil rest for a period of maybe 2 years and then think about planting something quite different to a passion fruit into that spot. And hopefully most of the pathogens are gone that have caused the problem. Di, I'm not sure where you're from. This is really a very important thing. You need to tell me because it does make a difference to the recommendation I get. Now, I give. You want to purchase Monstera, I think that's Monstera Deliciosa, that's the Swiss cheese plant or Monster. Any idea where I can purchase the seed? It's a bit unusual. The seed, this is the variegated one. Variegated one's best grown. So this is Thai Constellation is the variety you're looking for, and that is definitely a cultivar. You won't get it from seed, so you do need to grow it from cuttings. And the best place to probably get it's online. You do a bit of hunting around one of the various online garden markets. So that's probably one thing. Of course, check out Garden Express as well. Those guys, I know they had a lot of them actually at the Flower and Garden Show, which was just last week. So maybe check them out as well. Alison's in North Adelaide. Alison, hello, I've got a mandarin tree. Needs to be moved to a sunny position in the garden. When would be the best time? Generally, typical transplanting citrus of any type is best done in May. So you're almost in the best time of the year. That's well worthwhile doing if it's in a shady position, because the longer it is, less fruit you get, more chance you're going to get diseases in the tree. We are flying along. Okay, let me have a bit of a look here. We're going to run through until 10:15 this morning because we did start a little bit late. So there's still a pretty good opportunity for you to get your questions in. There are certainly a lot of them coming through. And I can see some of you helping each other too. So hopefully, you know, you keep doing that. This is all about being part of a community, and we're here to try and help facilitate that, certainly help you with my expertise. Got a great team on board in Russell, who's doing the technical stuff, and Shaylee, who's producing. And we'll do everything we can to answer your questions today. But get them in, because it won't take long, and the time will go by. Now, we'll stay in WA. Wangara is an area with deep sandy soils, and Hazel's asked the question, I want to plant an olive tree. It's some sandy soil, possibly hydrophobic. That means that it dries out and water won't seep evenly through the soil. Things have been seem to be doing well for a month or two, and then it grew an olive, which I thought was a bit odd. Don't they usually take years to fruit? Now it's turning brown and dying. How can I save it? Look, the very first thing I'd do is I'd get hold of some of that sea soil wetting agent. It's a bit of a mixture of both. I would say it's purely because of that hydrophobic soil. It's probably dry around the root system. We did have a very dry run until recently in WA or in the Perth metro area where we just weren't getting rainfall. And this sounds to me like a classic situation where there's just a lot of stress. So my suggestion would be that you use the sea soil wetting agent. It's a liquid. Put it into a watering can, mix it. Water all around, then I'm going to get the hose and then really, again, soak the ground to ensure it's washed right in around the roots. Once it's done that, you will see a recovery and the plant should start getting better. They do actually like sandy, free-draining soils. They don't mind it dry. So here we go. Well, I think we might just go to a really interesting little story. This is one where I did an interview with Nadia Steele. Now, it's all about food waste and how to make your household environment environmentally friendly. Nadia, tell us first of all, you're joining us not from sunny Australia, but from sunny New Zealand.
Yes, that's right. I'm lucky enough to work in a home office based in the beautiful Marlborough. Mm-hmm. Lots of land around me, so I'm able to grow lots of vegetables and things like that. So it fits in perfectly with BioTuff because obviously being a very environmentally conscious family myself, mm-hmm. and growing your own vegetables and things like that, you know, compostable and biodegradable, you know, plastics and things like that is highly important in this day and age. So the more that we can get behind it, the better.
Yeah, look, you know, education is certainly out there now. We're all aware of it, and certainly here in Western Australia, the state government has just banned single-use plastic. So there's a lot of people sort of reconsidering how they go about things, and I think we're all conscious of the impact this is having on the environment around the outside of us. Tell us a little bit about BioTuff. What is BioTuff?
So BioTuff, they manufacture and produce biodegradable and compostable Australian standard plastic items from your sandwich bags right through to cling wrap, through to council bags as well, and compostable stations that you can use at home, which is fantastic. And they're actually really good looking little kitchen caddies that you can put in your kitchens, and really pushing the sustainable way of the future with these kind of products.
One of the biggest things that we're all becoming aware of is the amount of food waste there is. Food waste is phenomenal, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, in Australia alone, we waste 7.6 million tons of food every year. And wow. Sadly, 70% of that is edible. Then when you combine that, the majority of it does go into landfills. And, you know, methane, which it produces, is 28 times stronger than carbon dioxide. So it's a huge problem that I don't think a lot of Australians are aware of. And more importantly, in this time that we're all living through, the cost of living is through the roof. And when you honestly think that if you start to really consider your food waste in your household, because that's where most of it does come from, mm-hmm. you can be saving $2,000 to $2,500 a year, which is huge. That's a huge impact for the ordinary Australian family.
There's got to be ways that we can reduce, the food waste that we have. Can you give us a few tips?
Oh, hugely. Meal planning. Number one, meal plan, meal plan, meal plan. Write out a 7-day meal plan. You know, go through your cookbooks, find exactly what you're going to have for dinner, write down the exact ingredients, and don't, you know, stern away from your meal plan when you go food shopping. If you're finding that the kids aren't eating their apples in their lunch boxes, then try another fruit and don't buy the apples. You know, and having more consciousness around exactly what you're throwing out. If you're throwing out a lot of food at the end of dinner, make your portion sizes smaller and freeze things. I mean, the amount of vegetables and fruits, even fruits that can be cut up and frozen and used in other recipes later down the track, or using simply looking, oh my gosh, we've got a lot of leftovers, let's get creative. Yep. You know, Bubble and Squeak's a big popular one with even some top chefs. There's so much information out there on the internet that you can literally, at the end of your week, you can look in your fridge and your fridge will be bare rather than you throwing it all in the bin.
certainly, you know, planning and then taking into account the what you're going to do with those leftovers is an important thing. But what about those things like the apple core, for example, of the apple? There's certain things that we don't consume. They're a byproduct of us having that. What are your recommendations there? Is it composting?
Most certainly, compost all the way. If you can home compost, it's great. And even if you're in an apartment dwelling, I know I hear a lot of people say, well, you can't grow your own vegetables, your own flowers. Pots are beautiful lining apartment buildings, whether they're indoor plants or not. They can all benefit from compost. And also put the pressure on the council about our FOGO collections. They were supposed to be rolled out by the end of this year. They're now not going to be rolled out to the end of 2030. So, but a lot of councils are already in and already are doing the steps to get those FOGO collections to you. Become a FOGO ambassador. Call your local council. Ask how long it's going to be and really push that point, because the best thing about FOGO is even if you're composting at home, all of the things that you wouldn't typically put in your home composting bin, such as fish and meat and things like that, you can put it into your FOGO collection. Mm-hmm. And it's saving the FOGO collection from getting smelly. Get a biodegradable, compostable, preferably Biotuff sandwich bag or freezer bag. Yep. Pop it in your freezer so it doesn't smell and empty it into your FOGO collection before pickup. With all FOGO, always check what you're allowed to put in there, because one contaminated lot can see the whole lot ending up in landfill. Yep. So it's having that communication and following the rules and regulations. But compost at home.
Look, I think that this is a really important message. If people want to know a little bit more about Biotuff, how are they going to get in contact with you?
Head over to our website, which is biotuff.com.au. Have a look at some of the products. They're fantastic. I mean, like I said, from school sandwich bags to freezer bags, your cling wrap. I mean, we understand that there are a need for these products in our life. We're used to having these products in our life. Looking at those biodegradable and making sure that they're compostable as well, which means that they're right up to high Australian standards, like all the Biotuff products are, and invest in those companies and do your research on them.
Great advice. Thanks so much for joining us. I mean, this is a very important message, and you guys are doing some great work in providing some alternatives to the things that we know have been doing a lot of damage to our environment. So thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Well, we're back. What a good story. This is a great idea. And Nadia is obviously doing some terrific work. If you would like to take advantage of this, there is a code word we've got for you. It's BioGuru. BioGuru. It's a 20% off all products store-wide. So just use that code. Check it out. The deal runs from the 6th of April through to the 5th of June. There are, of course, always terms and conditions. Check it out on their website. It's biotuff.com.au, biotuff.com.au. All right, hopefully that helps. Great story. Now, please remember, include your state, because there's a lot of questions coming through. And where they don't have that, it makes us hard to answer. So sometimes you may not get your question answered because I still require some sort of clarity on things. I wanted to ask you a quick question. Nothing like a little bit of a banter going on here. But Nige Ruck, I caught up with him last week in Melbourne. And did he bag me out badly for this beard, right? Isn't it good? Don't you think the beard's fantastic? Or do you think that maybe the beard should go? Nigel thinks the beard should go. He thinks that my baby face is gone and I look older. I don't really mind that, but what are your thoughts? Anyway, be gentle. Don't be ruthless. Be kind, but I will listen to you. If you want it gone, I'll get rid of it, but it's completely up to you. So let's run a poll, see what you reckon. I'm really asking for trouble with that, aren't I? Okay, I'm going to get back to your questions. We'll stop talking about the beard. Clearly, I've been handling too much Troforte and rubbing my chin at the same time, haven't I? It might be the little white bits on either side of that that's causing the problem. Okay, Christine, you're in New South Wales. Hello, Trevor. I'm a big fan of the show. Thank you very much. I was wondering if you have a favourite plant and why it is your favourite. You know what? I have a lot of favourite plants. There is one that's very unusual in my garden. It's called Petrea volvulus. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's also known as the purple wreath vine. Now, it's something that's probably teetering on the border of where I live, where it should be, from the point of view of the environment and the climatic conditions. But it produces these beautiful long racemes of gorgeous purple flowers. It's absolutely stunning. I haven't got an example with you. There is also another group of plants, and I don't know whether you know, whether I've ever told you, but basically I spent a period of time in my career in the early days, well before we were doing TV, where I worked as a grower, growing plants for a family business. And it was actually my mate, Nev Passmore, who you see in the Garden Gurus. Well, it was at Nev's mum and dad's nursery. It's a nursery called Blossoms. And they had a very specific specialty. It was a really interesting one. And it was Hawaiian hibiscus. And when you talk about favourites, pretty hard not to love hibiscus. Look how gorgeous they are. This is the classic. This is apple blossom. It's probably one of the hardiest of all hibiscus. You can see me disappearing behind the flowers here. Absolutely prolific in the autumn months. In fact, the Hawaiians, they're dinner plate size flowers. So we're talking that big with the most amazing flowers. Probably my favourite of all of them is one called Surfrider, and Elby Passmore, Nev's dad, also bred some. He had one called Plum Duff, which was also one of my favourites. He was so successful with his breeding that the White House in Washington, D.C., actually took a couple of varieties and planted them into their gardens there, where one of the presidents, I think it was Clinton, was a big fan of hibiscus and managed to get some sent over there. What a thrill and honour. And sadly, for Nev and the Passmore family, his dad died several years ago, about 8 years ago. His mum has just passed away, and it was only a couple of weekends ago. We celebrated her life with her funeral, and she lived to the grand old age of 101. Great story, lovely lady, amazing family business, and a son that they would be very proud of in Neville, who has done some pretty amazing things in supporting people with their gardens, supporting environmental changes, and being an educator and communicator, which is not an easy thing sometimes. You certainly, you know, there are techniques in sharing ideas and motivations to get the innovations out there. You know, it can be questioned at times. Nev's never stopped coming forward with new ideas, trying to help people, and he continues to do it now, even though he's kind of semi-retired. All right. Let's keep moving. My favourite plant, of course, Christine, hibiscus, without doubt, as far as shrub goes. And this is the best time of the year for them. Alison Iman, I hope I get it right, Alison. You're from South Australia. I'm assuming that's probably Adelaide. You've got a mandarin tree that needs to be moved to a sunnier spot. When's the best time to do it? May. Absolutely May. Make sure you soak the ground with sea soil and then transplant it into a bright sunny spot. And then through the winter months, it's not really going to grow an awful lot. Certainly do not feed it. Just let it settle in. And then come springtime, feed it on a regular basis using a liquid fertilizer over its foliage and probably a bit of sea soil in and around the base. And you'll find it'll get re-established quite quickly and get on its way. Now, June LaFrance is from Jervis Bay. Now, she had a really good question. Magnolia teddy bears, you probably know them, beautiful plants. Put four of them in November. They are all struggling with brown leaves falling off. Now, here's where I think the problem is. You've sprayed them with white oil. In the hot weather, they had a dripper on them as well. Now, we've had lots of rain, and the gardenias in front of them are doing well, interestingly enough. These are two plants that should be, one's doing well, the other should be doing well. You're worried about losing them. Obviously, you would be. You're worried that it might be leaf blight that's doing it. And looking at the photographs, I am absolutely sure that it's not leaf blight. In fact, I think it's the white oil that set them back. The risk with white oil is that if you actually, and you can kind of see these photographs here, if you spray over and it's a warm day, you get this black burn on them. And the brown is where it's completely burnt through, and I reckon that's what you've got here. It just looks very much like a chemical burn. It's definitely not a disease. They don't get black spot or those kinds of leaf diseases as such. It's very rare. I think this is probably inadvertently you've accidentally burnt them. Never spray white oil, pest oil or eco oil on any plants on a day where it's going to be over about 28 degrees. If it gets over that, they will burn, absolutely burn for sure. In fact, the best time to spray these sorts of plants is in the early evening. let the oil stay on them till the early morning, and then give them a bit of a wash down afterwards. It gets the oil off, will have done the job on the pests, and the plant will continue moving forward. Hopefully that helps. Nikki, not sure if I'm allowed to ask a second question. Well, I think you are, so let's do it. I recently got a peanut butter tree seedling, but its leaves are curled when I got it a week ago and they remain that way. I can't see any pests. How do I best care for it in Perth? This is a really unusual little tree. It's got a fruit that tastes, guess what, just like peanut butter. Pretty hardy sort of plant as a general comment, but with that curling of leaves, it's caused by thrips and it's quite a common problem, and this is the time of the year when it'll be at its worst. So, again, treatment, something like pest oil, eco oil, white oils, any of those, but when you're spraying, spray upwards, not over the top. They will be up under the leaf, and that's where you're going to get best traction with regards to it. You can also use, there are a number of insecticides that in conjunction will keep other pests off and also help maintain control. Things like Success and Maverick both would be alternative sprays a week or two later just to keep the plant nice and clean. Hopefully that helps. Let's stay in Perth. We've got a few questions in Perth, so we'll do that, and I'll go back to reminding you, please tell us where you're from. Now, don't forget the best questions, and certainly that one from Nikki, you are in the running. We'll pick the top three, and then I'll tell you who the winner is at the end of the show, but you're in the running to win that $50 gift voucher from our friends at Garden Express. What a good deal. You can go shopping 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's my favourite kind of shopping, and it's from the comfort of your armchair, which is even better. Tahani, you're in Perth. Thank you for your comment. You all do a wonderful job. I'm really enjoying watching you every week. My lawn is still growing like crazy. I'm in Perth. Should I be doing anything to keep it healthy for the winter? It's taken years to get it back after the dog enjoyed digging it all up. Dogs can be quite painful like that. It's good that it's growing strongly. What I would be doing about now is lifting your mower blades up. If they were down, they should have been down to maybe sort of 10, 20 mils or so. I'm probably lift them up to 30 at the moment, so it's a lot higher. The grass might look a little shaggier. Don't be scared to mow quite regularly. You know, weekly should be the norm this time of the year, and that'll just encourage it to thicken up as we move into winter, when it'll become quite dormant. And if it's nice and thick, weeds will really struggle to infiltrate it. It'll also look fantastic. So hopefully that helps. Another great friend of ours who's a terrific supporter, and it's lovely, you know, every week that you make either a contribution from the point of view of asking a question, or alternatively, you give us an update, which you're doing. Christine Rankin from Perth. Quick update for you. For some reason, the rats have stopped eating our passion fruit. We think maybe we scared them off when you had some plumbing issues that were tracked to the back garden where the vine is. So happy days not having to use rat baits. You know, rats have been a big problem here in Perth. They've also been a big problem in Melbourne. I'm fully aware of them causing all sorts of problems in gardens, particularly in places like Sydney. And, of course, they're tackling things like passion fruit, but also things like, and this is a big issue, citrus. So controlling them via baits is a really good idea. But there's another option you've got, and that's also traps. In this case, you might have destroyed their nesting space, and so they probably got up and moved on. The truth of the matter is there's also predators around, animals that like owls, for example, that are very night active. They could be also assisting. So it's great you're not using baits, because baits have this secondary kill potential, and that is they start killing off some of those beneficial animals that live in the environment that could be controlling rats, like snakes, goannas, and obviously predatory birds. How are we going? We're coming up to, we've got 10 minutes to go, so let's keep rolling along and see how many more questions we can roll in. We've got some great questions. Karen, unknown, I wish more products or wrapping could come with compost labels. That's a fair comment. Karen, you didn't tell us where you're from. It's a good, you know, look, it's actually a really good and fair comment. I think that you'll find that it's certainly some movement in that direction. I think one of the big innovations I've seen is potting mix bags. So that company that we talked about, Scott's, that have all the Osmocote potting mixes, have a read on the bag, what they're doing. I think, you know, there are probably tens of millions of bags of potting mix used in Australia. And it's quite interesting to see that that the bags of potting mix, I'm kind of smiling to myself, how many people are commenting with regards to my beard. But I think that, you know, it's companies like that that listen to what you're saying and start doing some really innovative things so their packaging can be recycled. And that stops literally millions of empty bags of potting mix going into landfill. So encourage and support companies like that. And what happens is, you know, that they can afford to keep that innovation and keep doing it. So good work to the guys at Scott's and certainly some of the other companies that we work with. We are seeing that innovation in that space. All right. Beard poll. We'll just go for a quick run through the beard poll. Does the beard stay? Does the beard go? Do you like the beard? Kerry Laws loves the beard. Graham Bell, my mate in Canada. Thanks, Graham. Terrific. Time to go. Christine Rankin, the beard makes you look older. I think it should be gone. Brutal, Christine. Nikki Roberts, beard stays. I love you, Nikki. Thank you. Karen, sorry, I'm usually in favour of beards, but Trevor, I like your clean shave and you're starting to sound like my wife, Karen. Kerry Height, I like the beard too. Lynn Winstanley, thank you. Thank you. I like the beard. Maybe Nigel is jealous and you hit it right on the head. But I'm going to do my best Nigel impersonation. I said to him, what do you think, Nigel? Is it really good? And Nigel, oh, Trev, I think it's getting really bad. It's nasty. You've got to get rid of it. How's that for a Nigel impersonation? Tyson likes the beard. Beverly, don't mind the beard. Glenn, the beard protects your skin from the sun, but trying to be gentle, the word starts with SC, rhymes with Duffy. Can't say that. I think you look better clean shaven. Thank you. Shaylee likes the beard. I do like Shaylee. She seems to know what she's talking about. Shall we go back and forget about my beard for a while? Just a little bit of Trofordo in the chin and see what happened. Anyway, Kerry Height, what is the best way to prune standard rose? Now, it's the first prune. A live-in Fremantle, regular pruning is always the best thing, particularly with standard. So just that encouraging it to get quite, you know, bushy and I suppose encourage structure is the best way to go. But regular trimming, in fact, every time you get flowers, the flush is really good. That's very, very important. Gemma is in Tasmania. Great to have our friends in Tasmania joining us. And you're a first timer at growing veggies. Fantastic. Great. This is all the fun when you start eating them. It's so rewarding. Recently, you planted some coriander and they died. Not sure what's happening to them. Planted it from seed. It was flowering. How can I avoid this? Great question, Gemma. A lot of people think coriander, warm climate plant, you know, comes from sort of Thailand and it's used in Thai dishes, so therefore it's tropical. But in actual fact, coriander loves cool weather and it comes from the highland regions of southern China is where it grows wild. There's a lot of slow bolt versions now here. They're cultivars that do go to seed a lot slower because you really want the foliage, not the seed as such, albeit you can eat the roots, the leaves, and of course also the seeds. But the real thing is, Gemma, you are going to be far more into autumn than I am here in Perth at the moment. Now is the time for you to be planting coriander seed. What would have happened is it would have bolted very quickly in warmer conditions, gone to flower straight away, and then produce that. I would add lots of organic material into the soil. I would put some Trofordo into that soil, I'd leave it for a week or so, then I would plant some seed and you will get a great crop of coriander. And I would love you to do it, send us some photographs. I promise you that little bit of advice will be something that you will love and you will get a great result. Keep up the good work growing veggies at home. It's good for the soul. It's good for the pocket when you look at what it costs these days for some of these things, when you realise you can grow them yourself. Why wouldn't you do it? It's really good for the heart. Okay. Now, we were talking before about hibiscus. I won't continue on about it, but I do want to highlight that this is the time of the year to get, you know, absolutely stunning flowers. It's not necessarily the best time to be planting them, albeit don't be scared to. They will go dormant, particularly in cooler climates. But if you're in the north of the country, great time of the year to be planting hibiscus and getting your hands on those new varieties, because a lot of these, particularly the Hawaiian types, they really flower at their best in that sort of late autumn period, even right through into early sort of winter. So have a look, and then we'll then you'll see what it is you want to get. Okay, there's a lot going on. We are running out of time. What have I got? I've got 5 minutes to go. So Vinette in Balladura. Balladura is in Perth. Do I need to hand pollinate my dragon fruit plant? No, you do not. Then again, night active moths will do that. They do it really successfully. Karen is in Logan in southeast Queensland. I love to compost, but often there's no label or icon indicated whether the product can be composted rather than recycled. Okay, compost, really interesting thing. The big composting plants compost a lot of material that we just don't think of, things like paper, cardboard, stuff like that. Obviously, plastics, general comment, can't be, but the good thing is that you can compost a heap of things, and you shouldn't, you know, if it's organic, it can be turned into a good composter and created. So don't be scared to do that. Combination, just thinking you want some green materials, so lawn clippings, any of the green kitchen waste, not meats, but any of the green kitchen waste, really good. 50% dry material, so you want lots of carbon, so that can be dry leaves or any of those sorts of things, shredded sticks, bark, any of that kind of stuff. Throw it all in, put some paper in there, keep the water up to it. If you're not getting a fast compost, you can boost your composting process by putting blood and bone in there, which we've just done. If you really want to cheat a little bit, what you can do is put some urea in there. Now, urea nitrogen is sucked up by those compost enhancing microbes. They use it a lot. In fact, their populations grow massively. And of course, all they're doing is they're eating like crazy. And you'll see this start to get hot, and you'll see steam coming out in the morning. And that is a very good sign. Of course, what I've just told you is a little cheat, but it just means that within sort of 4 to 6 weeks, the whole composting process has been done, and that compost is ready to go into the garden before you do it all over again. How's that? All right. Let's keep moving on. We've done the story on standard roses. Let's keep moving. Jeffrey, when are you coming to Fagan Park, Gulston again? Don't know. That's a good question, Jeffrey. I suppose, when are we getting invited? Let's have a chat about that. Daphne, I love the beard, but all good husbands follow their wives' advice. Oh, is that what I'm doing wrong, Daphne? You know what they say, happy wife, happy life. Yes, well, I better do some work about it. Maybe it's got to go. I think we're about 50-50 on the poll. I think that's going to get published on our Instagram page. So I think Shaylee's all over that. Tyson, thanks so much for answering my question. I really appreciate what you're doing. Guess what? I think we've got to the end of our day. I have three fantastic questions that have come through that I think were just brilliant. And I like all three of them. Glenn Miller, you asked about your lemon tree. June LaFrance, you asked about your magnolia teddy bears. And Nikki asked about the peanut butter tree. Who knew there was a tree that produced fruit that tasted like peanut butter? Great questions. All of them, I hope I answered well enough for you. Nikki, the $50 shopping voucher from Garden Express is going to you this week. Sorry, June and Glenn, keep your questions coming in. Next week, it's all over. So just message us through on Facebook, Nikki, and what you'll find is that Shaylee will send you the code to put your claim in. Speaking of code words, Troforte, this is the other one, guys, that you must make sure you enter. Honestly, it's well worthwhile. Jump on the Troforte Facebook page. Have a look. There is a code word opportunity there. The code word this week is watering. That is quite simple. Head on over there. Like their page. It's a good thing to like. Get your entry in. Share it with your friends. And good luck, because that's a weekly prize of $250 worth of Troforte, which for the average garden, it's going to feed your garden for the best part of the year. So well worthwhile getting your hands on that one. Okay, we ran out of time. which is hard to believe. Apologies again for starting late, but we've run late, which is great. Got through a lot of really good questions. Of course, this weekend, as of tomorrow, it's Easter. For many people, it's a very sacred and holy period. And for you, I hope you thoroughly enjoy it. And for others, it's just a wonderful time to get out and get into the garden. And that's what I will be doing absolutely this weekend. I hope you can do the same and enjoy. Remember, if you've got anything that you've got any further questions with, remain a friend on Facebook, post your questions, and we'll do our best to either answer them next week when I'll actually be in Singapore, believe it or not, but we'll be looking at still doing it. And I'll share something with you next week, a little clip from our Singapore show, a little preview. I think you'll love it. One of the talent up there who I've just seen and just absolutely love what he is doing. I think you will too. You'll be the first to see the Garden Gurus SG. A little sample of it anyway, right here in Australia. Jump on our gardengurus.tv YouTube channel. Really good opportunity to watch our previous stories and previous episodes. And don't forget, this weekend, episode 4 of the Garden Gurus right here in Australia. There are some fantastic stories coming up this weekend, some real innovation, a lot of fun with Nige, as you know. Nige can be just a little naughty, and that gets nasty, if you know what I mean. It's my best impersonation so far. Happy gardening, everybody. Have a lovely Easter, and this is your one last chance. Tell us what you think. Does the beard stay, or does the beard go? It's up to you. Happy Easter. I'm Trevor Cochran. We'll see you again soon.